And next up in front of the big mic is a guy that is synonymous with really outstanding excellence in multiple sports, both basketball and baseball here in Mercer County. One of the all-time greats, Rick Ladovich, joining us out of West Middlesex High School and current employee at Hickory. And you have a child going to Sharpsville. I mean, you got all kind of shirts to wear if you're a fan of multiple teams. But, Rick, congratulations. This is going to be a great weekend for you.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Mark. It's an honor to be here. It absolutely is a great honor to be bestowed upon myself, and I am honored to sit here in front of you.
You go back to your playing days, even before high school. What drove you? What was the motivation to get Ricky Ladovich where you are today?
I think some of the motivation was growing up with my grandma in Farrell, my grandma Haniak and my grandpa Haniak. I would have my grandma tell me stories about my uncle Bobby Hoffman, who played at Farrell on the 1952 state championship team, went to Penn State on a full scholarship for football. My Uncle Jerry, who signed a professional contract out of high school at the time with the St. Louis Cardinals for $8,000, which at that time was a lot of money. Uncle Jerry was very good. And I would have my grandma, we'd sit at the table on 308 Shenango Boulevard, and she'd tell me stories, and I'd say, you know, Grandma, let me hear about my uncles. And I grew up emulating them. Especially Uncle Jerry, because Uncle Bobby was in Lancaster, moved away. But my Uncle Jerry, he took very good care of me growing up. He was my mentor, and he made sure I had everything I needed. And I think that's what motivated me. I wanted to try to be as good as my uncles, my Uncle Bobby and my Uncle Jerry. And my mom would tell me stories about how they would go down to Georgia and watch my uncle play in the minor leagues. And it was something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to try to play professional baseball at a very young age. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know the path to take. But growing up in West Middlesex, you play baseball. And I played for a very good coach in Jerry Novosel. Learned how to play the game of baseball the right way, starting in Little League. You know, I think back to my Little League coaches, Don Vidala, Barry Anthony, Rick Caring, just some of those people like that showed you and took an interest in you. You know, they'd pick you up for practice, they'd take you home if need be, but it was a very close-knit community. But I was motivated by my own family, and I wanted to try to be like them. I wanted them to be proud of me, so to speak.
You played the game of baseball at a very high level, obviously, high school, college, and professionally, and you hit the ball as well as anybody. What was the secret to your success being as great a hitter as you were?
I think I enjoyed hitting. I enjoyed studying it. I enjoyed doing it. It was something that I really liked to do. I'm not sure what one thing was. In success, I think even as I got into the minor leagues, where some of my other skills weren't maybe as good as some of the other players, my fielding, my arm strength, my running, I think I was always able to be able to hold my own hitting. And, you know, I think it was through the development of a lot of practice and Uncle Jerry taking me to the local fields with three dozen baseballs at the time, and we would hit, we'd gather them up, and we'd hit some more. I remember Coach Novosel when I was in the minor leagues. I'd leave my house in West Middlesex, go over to his house where he had an indoor cage. He would throw to me. He would soft toss with me. Mrs. Novosel would make dinner afterwards, and I'd sit there and eat with them. It's things that people that they did for me that they really didn't have to do that stick out in my mind. So that's what I try to do with my sons. And I just think back of the people. I think back of my mother. I think back of my sister, who were so inspirational in my life. You know, my mom. We lost my dad when we were young. And my mom picked up the pieces for us. My Uncle Jerry, I think, took on a role as a father to me, and it was never spoken about. It was just done. He just suddenly became a part of my life. And when things get tough in life, I think of my mom. I think of my stepfather, Duke, who was there for me, and all the great people that were in my life, my grandparents. And they steered me in the right direction. You know, when times when I wanted to make a left turn and get off the straight and narrow, they were there for me to help guide me. And I can't thank them enough. I can't tell my mom how much I love her. I can't tell my sister how much I love her. My Uncle Jerry, and just great people in my life.
It's amazing when you talk about the amazing way you played not only baseball. I mean, you were Division II Player of the Year. You knocked in 97 runs in a season on that senior season. So your numbers are amazing. You scored 63 points in a high school basketball game. But what I'm hearing from you is this, is which is really cool for me to hear, is that this all came with, yes, there's ability and there's hard work there, but the family led you in watching them as a young kid, in guiding you through your years, coaching you sometimes, taking you out to the ball field. It was family that got you here.
Absolutely, Mark, absolutely. And without them, I wouldn't be here. And I wrote down on a note card, and I knew I wouldn't forget them. And, you know, I don't have a lot of memories of my father, but the memories I do remember of him, and I tell my health students in fourth and fifth grade, it's, you know, I can remember when we ate dinner, we sat down as a family and ate dinner, and it was what my dad wanted to eat. It was probably what was on sale at the grocery store at the time. My mom never said to us, Ricky, Tammy, what do you want to eat? But we sat down as a family. My dad, he worked at Sharon Steel. Some nights he'd work doubles, and we'd take lunches down to him. I'd tell the story about how my mom used to butter the bread on the lunch meat sandwiches, which I think is unheard of these days. But just those little things like that, and we would take daddy down to lunch to the mill. But it was family. And you mentioned the 63-point game, and somebody asked me last night about it. You know, when I think about that 63-point game, I think about teammates who sacrificed for me to hold that record. You know, I can remember we were gathered in the huddle, and the coaches said about, you know, Laddie can make a run at this record. What do you guys think? And they were all in. Chad and Brad Mild were juniors. Russell Kelly was a junior. Todd Romaine, it was senior night. You know, he sacrificed his night so that I could have that record. So people talk about the 63, and I think back of them, those players who made a conscious effort to get me the ball. So that record to me has an asterisk by it with a lot of teammates and a lot of sacrifice that went into that for me to sit here and hold that record of 63 points. It wasn't just me going out there and being so dominant in a game where I scored 63. And I tell my sons, it was an effort by a team that thought more of me and put themselves aside. And I can't thank them enough for that.
I remember, I never told you this story, Rick. I think you were a sophomore, and you were a little bit, a little bit chubby. You were, weren't the greatest athlete in the world at the time.
And you say he was a great athlete, maybe not the physical specimen, but he was always a great athlete.
So I remember we were doing a Middlesex game, and you came on the floor, and I was butchering your name, which I still do that to the day.
Yes.
And I think I got yelled at by your mother. I got wind back that I was mispronouncing your name, and I promise, I said, if this young man becomes a good player, I will know how to pronounce his name. And I quickly learned how to pronounce your name.
I'm sure it was my mom who got after you.
Ladevich. L-A-D-J-E-V-I-C-H. So I imagine throughout your career, you may have walked to the plate a few times with some interesting
pronunciations. And I can remember when I sat in college the first day of class and the professors would mispronounce the name. I didn't say anything. I just sat there and let them pronounce that the way they wanted.
Now, I know you mentioned Jerry Novosel. You also played for Nick Canone, who was, I know, a influencer in your life as well. Say a word or two about Nick.
We were always prepared at West Middlesex. You always knew that we were going to put our best foot forward. And I think being West Middlesex kids, we kind of fed off of Coach Canone because we were hard-nosed kids to begin with. And he brought in an attitude where we were going to try to get better, opened up the gym. We spent a lot of time in the summers, and it was a combination of his intensity as well as ours to try to be the best basketball team that we could be. And I think growing up in West Middlesex, you looked to the players ahead of you. You looked to the Troy Miles and the great players that came before him at West Middlesex. And there was a period in time where we took our lumps, and, you know, I was just telling Ed Farrell when he interviewed me, I'm very proud to say that I came from West Middlesex. It's a very blue-collar community, hardworking, close-knit. And when I think back to those memories, I think back to a lot of great people, a lot of people that were influential in my life, not only Coach Canone, but Coach Novosel. I had great coaching growing up. You know, I see Bob Rodenbaugh, Rody, who is a district administrator right now. I don't think in my years 13 to 15, I don't think my mom ever brought me home from practice. We always used to go to Bish's Golden Dawn. He'd have to get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, and he'd take me home. So it was people like that that did things for you. They didn't have to. They had nothing invested, but that's the way that it was then. And that town and Little League was big, and baseball was important to us, as well as basketball. You wanted to try to be the best you could to represent West Middlesex.
You went to college and then got drafted in the minor leagues. Talk about that experience of traveling and playing professional baseball.
I got drafted after my senior year, 26th round Seattle Mariners, signed for $1,000. So the scout who signed me, Cotton Nye was his name. He said, you know, give it a shot. I don't know how it's going to pan out. They don't have a lot of money in you. So I got assigned to short season A, Bellingham, Washington. Out of college, you know, just kind of like the scrappers, the same level, short season A. Played there, had a decent year. Moved on to the California League, Class A, Advanced A, Riverside, California. Had another solid season, hit 300, not a lot of power, 7 home runs. Didn't drive in nearly as many runs as I did in college. And then the following year, I was assigned to Wilmington, North Carolina, the AA affiliate of the Mariners at the time. Hit 283, 7 home runs, 48 RBI. So going back to spring training and talking to people, I'm thinking maybe I'm going to get assigned back to AA. Didn't think probably it was enough to get promoted to AAA. But at that time, a lot of the people that were involved in our farm system moved on to different jobs, were let go. And I was released at the end of spring training. It was kind of a shock to me. I wanted to, you know, to try to give it another shot at AA, see what was going on. But, you know, talked to some other teams through an agent that I had, a representative, and there were some offers to go to some independent leagues outside of professional baseball, and it just wasn't really something that I wanted to do at that time. I was 26 years old and, you know, wasn't getting any younger, kind of saw the writing on the wall, so I just, you know, went back to college, finished up my degree, University of Central Missouri. And like I just told Ed, probably I tell my sons the greatest accomplishment I ever did was getting my college degree. I remember I called my mom and I said, "Hey, Mom, I graduated." And she said, "Ricky, are you sure? Are you sure? You better double check." I'll never forget that to this day. I said, "Thanks a lot, Mom." She had a lot of confidence in me. On the athletic fields, but not so much in the classroom. I wasn't a great student. I think that's why I ended up at a junior college in Missouri. You know, I kid my buddy Mike Nardone, you don't end up in a junior college in Missouri and a junior college in Kansas like Mike did if your grades are spot on and you're doing everything you need to do. So, but Mike Goldstone, who at the time was the manager of Fabulous Goldsteins, Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Goldstone, a great man. And he knew the coach at Crowder Junior College, Gary Roark, and offered me a scholarship, never saw me play. Mr. Goldstone had sent previous players out there. And I tell you, Bobby and Mark, it was like a baseball factory. Your classes had to be done by noon because we were on the baseball field from 12:15 to 5:15 to make it back to the cafeteria. Wow. So that we could eat dinner. And it was exactly what I loved it. It was baseball, and it was a guy, Coach Roark, who was very knowledgeable, disciplinarian. We went to class. You know, I tell people, they look at me, I tell them, I think I missed one class in my career at college, and they look at me like I was crazy, but it was instilled in us. You went to class, you sat in the front, you took your hat off, you didn't let anybody know you were an athlete. You were there to get your education, and that stayed with me when I went to the University of Central Missouri. And it was important for me to stay eligible to play sports. It was important for me to try to work towards that degree, because I'm not sure leaving West Middlesex that maybe a lot of people had faith in me that I could make it in college. And I kind of wanted to show them that, hey, you know, I can do this. And, you know, every day I wake up and I go to school, I'm very honored, very, very blessed to go to Hermitage School District and teach, do something that I love. I work with people that I love to work with. I have a very good support group at school. And it's amazing to me. It's just, you know, once again, it's people that put themselves ahead of me to make sure that everything is taken care of, and that everything is good. And Mark, you know, working there, it's a small family there, and you try to look out for each other and you take care of one another. And like I said, my 19th year at Hermitage, I get to teach physical education. I get to monitor lunch at 12:20 every day with David Greenberg and Drew Slazak, and I get to talk sports with them. And it's something that I'm honored to be able to do.
You think about that teaching career now and that opportunity that you have. You've told us some great stories tonight. I'm really hoping that you are sharing stories like this with the fourth graders all the way down, because you touch so many lives in the position that you're in Hermitage, phys ed and health, from fourth grade all the way up through the high school kids, whether even in lunch. Even though you may not have everybody, you know, you have such a large group there, an opportunity to share. You've got some great stories. Make sure you're sharing them with all those kids.
I do, Mark. But I think it's also important that I've noticed as I've gotten older, as I teach, it's important to listen to the kids as well, because they have some great stories too. And they're doing a lot of neat things. And if you get to know them, if you get to show an interest in them, I think it goes a long way. I think that's probably one of my funnest things to do, is to talk to the younger kids. Or just, hey, what did you have for dinner last night? They may look at me like I'm crazy, but, you know, I'm kind of interested to see what other people are eating. But, it's something that just a way to kind of break the ice with them. And it's a profession where you get to make good impressions on young people, and you try to do the best that you can in that sense.
Rick, I know it's not something you guys planned on, but some history being set tonight with you and your wife, Kim, becoming the first husband and wife ever to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Talk about how proud your family must be, and how proud you obviously are of your wife.
I think everybody is. It's not something that Kim and I have really talked about. I think we are more focused right now on the boys. I think maybe some point in time that may set in. But I think if you were to ask myself or to ask her, I think right now at the forefront is Ricky and Ryan. We got to watch them play at Sharpsville today. And just being able to sit in the stands and watch them play, as nerve-wracking as it is, but it is very proud to watch them play. I'm so very proud of my two sons, Ricky and Ryan. They're great young men. And I don't want them to feel like there's any added pressure on them, because they are great young men in their own right, very respectful. You know, I know when I go to church on Saturdays and I watch Ricky and Ryan serve, it brings great honor to me to see that. And they both played very well today in their games, and it was very proud. And just like any father, you're very proud of them. And I think you're proud in the sense of you try to take care of them, because that's what people did for all of us that are in the Hall of Fame. For myself, for Kim, for my Uncle Bobby. There was good people in their lives that allowed them to be here.
Well, Ricky, we are really proud. One of the most proud interviews that we've had here is because it was great to watch you play in high school, and you were a natural playing basketball, weren't you? You didn't really put a lot of time into it, did you?
No, I wouldn't say that I did, other than maybe shooting in the driveway growing up. But there wasn't a lot of going to skills workouts like there is now. I would come to Coach Canone's open gyms in the summer, and we'd have fall. But you know, I wouldn't really say natural, but I watched the game. You know, I watched a lot of college basketball and just learned to play growing up. going to Farrell basketball games with my uncle, watching them, just wanting to be as good as they were. And I think that's what kind of drove me.
We got a great career, Rick. We congratulate you here tonight.
I appreciate it, Bobby and Mark. It's my honor to be here. And like I said, a lot of people have sacrificed for me to sit in front of you.
Well,
I
enjoy,
can't thank them enough.
Enjoy your night, man.
Yes.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Rick
thank
Ladovich,
so
former Thanks, star Rick. At West Middlesex High School. And an inductee to the 2018 class of the Mercer County Hall of Fame.